Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Another thing that happened when veterinary medicine chose to pattern itself after human medicine, instead of adapting the more comprehensive farm animal model to encompass the special needs of companion animals and their relationships with people, is that veterinary medicine became burdened with human medicine's reticence to discuss all matters sexual. Historically, veterinarians were coming from a strong biological background. They understood that the biological raison d'etre for all animals is reproduction. And because they understood that, they recognized that sex played an important role in normal animal health and behavior. However, human medicine took an almost puritanical view about sex. And the same thing occurs now among some in veterinary medicine. I know this because I was one of them. Sexual topics fell into the realm of those food animal practitioners, those involved with animals who were breeding, who were reproducing so that they would give milk or provide further stock for the herd or the flock. That had nothing to do with dogs and cats, well, except for maybe those few purebred animal breeders, but even so, because I'm old, I remember that a complete physical examination of an animal did involve the entire animal. And that included the nether regions. This could be because I was fortunate enough to be part of a mixed animal practice so that some of the practitioners still did farm calls. And we also had companion animals. And a lot of the farmers in our area also had companion animals. Even if I, by virtue of my training, or lack of training, might hesitate to inquire about some issue involving the animal's penis or vulva, my more educated and sophisticated clients wouldn't permit that. They would bring up the subject themselves. But as the farms faded away and the area became more suburbanized, we became more sanitized, just like those in the human medical profession. It took me many years to realize that animals, regardless of their reproductive status, remain sexual beings, some of them more than others. Which is rather remarkable when you think about all those videos on YouTube of dogs and cats displaying sexual behavior. And I think it's safe to say that the majority of them do not have their testicles or ovaries. The fact that I denied them that out of convention was appalling to me when it hit me. And I've since rectified it. I ask people about sexual behaviors now on my behavioral questionnaire. That was another consequence of this choice. We became prudish, but not only prudish, we became hypocritical about sex and our animals' sexual nature, the same way our society has become hypocritical about our own sexuality. And I compare that to the view of animal sexuality maintained by a farmer, a rancher, a herdsman who really understands and knows and loves the animals in his or her care. And respects them to the point that that person can easily volunteer information about that animal's sexual displays to the veterinarian without being embarrassed in any way. What I can only hope is that in the days ahead, those herdsmen, farmers, ranchers won't find it increasingly difficult to find a veterinarian who is willing and able to accept this information objectively and without embarrassment.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.